to Philemon is the most challenging portion of Scripture for me out of the whole canon of Scripture, because it takes so much work for me to drag my mind away from the American participation and acceptance of the slave trade and focus on Paul's actual purpose for writing the letter. It's hard, but it's worth doing. The slave Onesimus has done the unthinkable. He has stolen his master's valuables and he has run off. Somehow or another, the slave and Paul meet up, and during their time together, Onesimus has been converted. The slave is now a believer and follower of our Lord Jesus. And so what happens? Does Paul help Onesimus on his way to continue his journey towards freedom? You know that the punishment for a runaway slave, and especially one who has stolen his master's property, was death. Surely, Paul would not put Onesimus in harm's way. Paul seems to be playing a very dangerous game. At least at first pass, Paul is pushing the faith community of which the slave owner, Philemon, is a prominent member. Paul is asking two things that a wealthy person in the ancient Near East would never do: take back and forgive. Take back the slave Onesimus and forgive him, not only as a favor to the Apostle Paul, but as a believer who is commanded to offer forgiveness to another. Look at it from the slave owner's side. He is no doubt a man of wealth, of taste, one who either earned it the hard way or was a patrician, living off of the estate earnings of a wealthy predecessor. He's a man of means in his world. He rules the roost in a way that is hardly imaginable, even for us today, to imagine. Whatever and whoever gets in his way, a man like Philemon has the means to make the outcome agreeable to himself. This really can't be understated. Philemon was, and by any standard, his standard, certainly dreadfully wronged by the slave Onesimus. Philemon was due the full restitution of the legal system of his time, and no one would blame him for pushing his interest to his satisfaction. Unless, of course, the man was a follower of our Lord Jesus. And it is here that the Apostle Paul moves toward reuniting these two parties, the slave who has done wrong and the slave owner. In the letter, Paul lets the slave owner know that he has the authority. Paul actually has the authority to command the slaveholder to take the slave back. But you see, Paul does not approach the issue in this particular way. Listen how skillful Paul is in handling a man that is lawfully entitled to having his property back and properly punished. Now, I don't know about you. If you read this letter, I can just imagine the proud, the patrician Philemon sitting in the place of honor at the head of the congregation. And as Paul's letter is read aloud to that gathering, just as we heard right here, somebody reading it from the lectern, I can just imagine that as that letter begins to be read, that Paul is in prison. Wealthy Philemon gives kind of this double blank and then maybe a little sigh. He's just been outflanked by a master tactician, Paul the Apostle. But he's not done yet. He lowers the hammer as he writes, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints." I see in my mind's eye Philemon's shoulders kind of slumping forward because he knows Paul. and he knows what's coming. After all, Philemon is a Jesus follower. And sure enough, Paul forms his argument not on Philemon's remedy in the law. No, Paul forms up his argument based on God in Christ. You see, in his letter, Paul moves between equal parts, carrot and stick. And it really does come through as you read this letter that Paul personally likes Philemon, the slaveholder. And so he has something to work with. Paul makes it clear that this is a spiritual matter. It concerns the community. After all, the house church they belong to will be watching to see exactly what example Philemon sets for the whole congregation. Will he set his jaw and stir up factions, pitting one group who supports the law against another group that supports the Apostle Paul? Or will he submit to the greater good of the congregation? What is this lesson really about? Is it about slavery? Is it about how to write an appeal to manipulate another person? No. This letter that Paul has written to Philemon is encouragement for us as the people of God who struggle with forgiveness, the basic work of reconciliation. How much like Philemon can we be when someone gets crossways with us? We know intellectually, of course, that we should forgive easily and without reserve. And yet if we're honest, if we're really honest, we know how it goes. We have received an undeserved, smug comment or an unkind cut. And in our own self-righteousness, we can say in our heart, "You can't treat me that way. We're just going to see about that." This is Philemon's story. And this is what Paul is counseling. Paul is telling Philemon, the slaveholder, "I know it's hard, but I want you to forgive and accept Onesimus back of your own free will and as a follower of the Lord. And if that's too much to ask, remember that you, Philemon, owe your redeemed life to my ministry." Paul says, "I am the one who first pointed you to a saving health in our Lord Jesus." Forgiveness. Quite possibly the hardest ministry the whole body of Christ is called to. But here is the kernel that must always be remembered. We forgive freely, not to release the other person, although that may well happen. No, we forgive freely to receive release for ourselves. When we forgive, we free ourselves from the bile that so often comes about when people are in conflict. Isn't this true? We often think that we should forgive, intellectually at least, because the Scriptures so often speak of it. And I offer that since God is our Creator and His very breath is on the pages of the Bible, as Creator, He knows what is best for us. He knows what will release us from our own behaviors that hinder us from a full life in His service. And so, yes, we are to forgive freely and fully. But forgiveness is a coin with two sides. In the letter, Paul is asking Philemon to forgive. But there's an unaddressed issue also, isn't there? Many times our heart will be weighed down with things that we have done or thought. These call out for forgiveness also, don't they? To go to someone and make a confession about something that you have done or something you have said against another person that does not honor God or His creation. Now surely, the body of Christ here on 6th and O'Connor, surely we know enough about discipleship to recognize when a wound in our heart can only be closed by the act of asking or giving forgiveness. The life of a Christian is such an honor Such a privilege. But with these things come responsibility to act as if we have already been forgiven by our Lord Jesus. Our Lord has forgiven us. In His mighty grace, we have been separated from our sin so that we may live with the Father in heaven forever. I'm asking that each one of us this very day, praise God, will reveal what we need to do to keep our spiritual house in order. Do you need to ask forgiveness of somebody? I encourage you, do it today. Do not let the sun go down today without taking care of that. Do you need to forgive? Do it freely, as our Lord Jesus has already done for us. There is strength in forgiveness. And so I'm asking that each one of us forgive freely, and let us take hold of that strength and use it for the good of the kingdom.